There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Am I your type of holiday?
And it's freezing out here. I've got to tell you, yesterday we got sunburnt. Today we're freezing. What's going on with the weather, eh?
Yeah, it's a chill, a bit of a chilly in, isn't it?
I hope they've thought about this for the poor cyclists out there. I hope they've got their woolly jumpers in their bags.
Yeah, I'm sure they have.
It's freezing. Yeah.
Long trousers on as well.
Shoots is going to talk us through some cycling holidays that she's been researching, but also we're joined by keen cycler. I think it's fair to call you that, Andy.
A reincarnated cyclist.
Yeah, because you packed it in, didn't you, for a while?
Yeah, and I remember seeing you on social media getting back into it.
Yeah.
Five years ago, I got back and I had a break of about 18 years.
Because you were a bit larger before, weren't you?
Oi.
No, he's trimmed himself down, unbelievably.
He's always upsetting our guest, Shruti. Always.
You know, he used to do our movie reviews, did Andy, and I remember he was a big lad then.
All right, he's here,
now,
you know.
But look at him now. Look at him now. This is what cycling has done for you.
Hey, mate, we're on radio, not TV, so I'm all right.
So Andy, feel free to chip in whenever you like and either praise or diss Shruti's research.
Well, I've saved myself because I'm going to ask Andy two important questions when it comes to planning this kind of holidays. Now, if you're listening for the first time, this is what we do. We give you holiday ideas based on one specific theme. So far, we've had car holidays, we've had underground holidays, some amazing but low-key film festivals. All of this can be found on DubaiEye1038.com. And today, we're doing cycling holidays, keeping in theme of Dubai Tour. So before we set off on our locations, I've got a couple of questions that you need to consider, a couple of things. I think, Andy, I need your help on this. So one of the first questions that I looked up when you want to plan such a holiday is whether you want to do a DIY or you want to do a guided tour. Now, DIY, where you're booking your own flights, your transfers, your accommodations, your bike hires, planning your own rides, this is much cheaper, obviously, but you need to have a good knowledge of where you're going, or you need to spend a lot of time doing your research, planning out your tour and, you know, where you're planning to go.
Unless someone on the radio does it for you.
Yes, unless, but I'm not giving you an exact route. I mean, you still have to plan your route.
Oh, what a letdown.
So what would you say, Andy? What's the best way to go? Planning a bike, a cycling holiday?
And I think each of them have their own pros and cons. First of all, depends what you're looking for when you want to go on a cycling holiday. Do you want to go and hit the mountains and suffer? Do you want to just go on something that's a leisurely type ride? I mean, if I think back to New Zealand, they have cycle tours around wineries.
Okay,
which is a totally different concept, and you really don't want to be going too fast or drinking too much. But I think it really depends on what you're looking for and the flavour of your type of holidays. There is something for everybody out there. As an example, like 2 years ago, I went on my first cycling holiday, and I took myself to go and follow the last week of the Tour de France. I didn't go on an organised trip. The Tour de France is an organised event, so I knew when all the stages were. It was just fortuitous that five of the stages were all centred around Chamonix. So my holiday took me to France, I based myself in Chamonix, and every morning we got up and we either drove our car or we rode our bike to a particular point long before the cyclists got there and position ourselves so we can watch the Tour de France. And on average we were riding 60 to 70 kilometres a day and climbing 2,000 metres.
Wow.
And then you come back to your hotel and you eat and you drink and be merry. But also in conjunction with the Tour de France, there are competitive cycle tours. So you can actually do stages of the Tour de France before the Tour de France comes through. And they get sometimes up to 5,000 riders doing one or two stages.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And then also you can actually, there are people that actually go ahead of the Tour de France by about a week and they ride the whole thing.
They convince themselves they've won it.
No. I'll tell you one of the funniest things being a cyclist is people that don't follow cyclists, they say, have you ever done the Tour de France? And you have to point out to them, it's sort of like saying to someone, oh, have you ever driven in a Formula One cycle in a Formula One car race? I was like, no. It's like, this is the very, very best of the sport.
But I think my my money would be on the guided tours, mainly because you get a vehicle support, which is when you get tired, you can put your cycle in the back and sit in the car.
Although there's someone watching you then, isn't there?
Well, you know,
judging.
But also, say this interview is very timely because on Saturday night I fly to Thailand for 10 days and I'm going on a semi-organised cycle tour. When I say organised, it's not by a cycle tour company, but it's got a friend of mine who spends half the year living in Thailand. And he's explored all the routes, and this is the third year in a row that they've done it. So we've got a bunch of 13 of us that, at one point, all of us lived here, but people now live all around the world, and we're all converging on Chiang Mai, and we're riding 6 days, 600 kilometres, 10,000 metres of climbing. And yes, we have a support car, because it's really, really hard to drag your bike box and all your luggage behind you when you're going from point A to B. So you need a way to, you need a mechanism to get your luggage and everything else to the next point. So a support car would be mandatory, whether it's a organised cycle trip by a tour company, or even if you do it yourself.
So you pick up your bikes when you get there?
We take our bikes.
You take your bikes?
And again, you know, for around 3,000 to 4,000 dirhams, you can have a bike box, which is basically a suitcase for bikes. Yeah. And so you remove the wheels, you twist the handlebars around, lift the seat out, takes about half an hour to pack it in, and then you chuck all your clothes in plastic bags and chuck them in the bike box as well. And it's got wheels on, and that's how you transport your bike.
Amazing.
I do know a few people, though, who've gone on cycling holidays that would be about a week or 2 weeks long, where they haven't had a sport car and they've just used those things that kind of pin to the side of your bikes that you keep all your stuff in your tent.
Panniers.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's a difference. And again, you know, you're either going on a cycle tour because you're going to clock out lots of kilometres and you're going to climb lots of metres in the mountains, or you're actually going as a tourer. There's a woman who used to live here many years by the name of Helen Rod, and her husband have retired, and they're basically cycling around the world.
Wow.
You know, over the next 4 or 5 years, you know, they just travel with what they've got.
Mark's always wanted to do that on an electric bike.
Well, see, you talk about electric bikes. When I was in France, and the mountains, we don't have mountains here, we have mountains in France. On my first day in Chamonix, we'd been rode up to the top of the Fidat Hermosin Dam, and we're riding back to our car to get back to the hotel. And I'm going up this hill. It's about 7 kilometres long. It's about 5 or 6% gradient. And this granny goes past me. And I say granny, I'm talking probably in her late 70s and 80s.
Ooh.
She was on an e-bike.
Awesome.
It looks like a normal bike.
Yeah, yeah.
You still have to pedal it, but it is power-assisted.
Yeah, we tried
had a go.
Them.
We had a go on a couple.
Hills are amazing on one of those.
But again, I was so curious after that. At the end of my trip, I took a trip down to Mount Vontu, which is the most famous mountain that the cyclists ever go up. And I did I rode 3/4 of the way up the mountain. I didn't even get to the top. My legs were actually stuffed. But I came back down and I rented an e-bike because I was really curious as to what difference it made. Mm. And as an example, you know, in simple terms, my heart rate would drop 20% by having assisted power, and I could actually get up the mountain without too much effort.
How do you ever go back? That's the problem. I'd never go back. What? If I had an electric bike, I'd never ride a normal one again.
And you know what? As long as you don't use it in a race, I am more than happy with that.
Honestly, we're all moving to electric bikes.
But see, this is one of the controversies in cycling at the moment.
Yeah.
That some cyclists have been found with hidden motors in their bike. and they install it in the seat tube. Now, it can't make you ride the whole race without doing nothing, but it can supply about 120 watts of power for an hour. So when you consider that these cyclists, without that, are putting out an average of about 300 watts over the course of the race, if 120 of that is being done for you, your legs are a lot fresher when you get to the end. So just like you have drugs in sport, you also have mechanical doping as well.
Yeah, moving from, because we were focusing on cycling holidays, the second question was whether you should hire your bike or take your own. Would you suggest taking your own?
As a first preference, absolutely, because a bike is just not like a car. When you get in a car, well, I suppose it is in a way, because you adjust the steering wheel, you adjust the seats and everything else, whereas on a bike, it's exactly the same. You've got to get the handlebar stem length, the height, the seat, to get the right fit. Otherwise, you'll get injured. But then also saying that, all of these rental companies will rent bikes. And as part of that service, they'll put you on the right size bike, they'll adjust it for you and make sure that you're comfortable on it, because there's nothing worse than riding a bike that you're not fitted.
Can you injure yourself if it's, you know, in the wrong position?
Very much so, because first of all, if your seat's too high, you're going to roll as you go across because you're struggling to do this. If it's even way too high, you're going to fall off when you get to the traffic lights because you can't put your feet down. And then if it's too low, again, because what happens is your knees splay out because of the fact that you haven't got the right height. Mm. So again, it would be the same as wearing a running shoe that's too big or too small. It would cause injuries.
And you've given us so much to think about. Thank you so much for joining us today. We've got to get to the headlines. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Am I your type of holiday?
Someone's just texted in, obviously follows the Ticket Travels on Instagram and said, hey, I just saw your post. Is it camouflage day for the presenters? That's you. I've got me Hawaiian pants on today.
Oh, yeah.
Difficult to see from a distance.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you my tea. Let's swap T-shirts.
No way.
Well, we don't have to do it in public. We can do it behind closed doors.
I don't know if you had a shower this morning. No chance, Mark Lloyd.
Actually, there's a real story to with this shirt. You know?
Is there? It's
the shirt that three people at the Arabian Radio Network one day all turned up in the same shirt.
Yeah, none of them are influenced by social media whatsoever, are they? Not at all. What a coincidence.
Yeah. Yes, total coincidence.
So we are talking about cycling holidays this afternoon. Shoots has dug out some of the best ones. Where are you taking us first?
Yeah, so first we're heading off. So if we're going from Dubai, I've started with places that you can go close by. And the first place we're going to go to is Jordan. That is a Japanese band, but it's cycling is fun. The song's called.
Yeah, it's
you
cool,
do
isn't
not
it?
Have to justify which bits of music you put in.
It's a nice bouncy little tune.
Yeah,
like
it's about getting us into the mood of cycling is fun.
Of course it is.
Now, Jordan, it's a perfect place because it's so close by. You know, it's a quick tour. The one I've picked is called the Petra and Wadi Rum Tour.
Nice.
It takes us through the olive groves and the hilltop villages in the north. Then when we move down south, we head through the desert roads with sparse and nomadic population. You get to visit the UNESCO site of Petra. You spend a night under the stars in the Wadi Rum Desert. And then you can also float in the Dead Sea if you want to without your bike. But yeah, you can do that if you like.
I can imagine cycling in Jordan would be beautiful, wouldn't it?
You know what I remember about going to Jordan? Hilly. And I remember that because I hired a car where the handbrake didn't work and it was a problem. So I think it would be quite a hilly ride.
Well, I checked and it says 95% quiet tarmac roads, 5% gravel and sand roads, mainly flat with some steep climbs and hot temperatures.
Mm. I can find you a hill on a flat road.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you'd let you take your bikes into Petra.
No,
I doubt it.
No.
Yeah, you'd have to park them up outside. But yeah, and the Dead Sea, beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
One of my favourite trips, actually, Jordan.
Yeah. A wonderful place, yeah.
All right, that's a good one. Price-wise, what are we looking at?
It's about 4,000 dirhams to do that.
Including flights?
Yeah. And it's if you go to any of the tour organizations, they'll do it for you. Next up, quickly, just want to tell you about India. That's the one. You can imagine there's a various options that you can go to and do there. But this one is it's on my bucket list, and it's going from the hilly areas of Manali to Leh, which is across the Indian Himalayas.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful hilltop. This is a bit of a climb if you can imagine it.
Yeah, I'm just going cycling in the Himalayas.
Well, just under it, and you can see the Tibetan Buddhists. You know, this is the place where they are around, and it takes you through forests, through valleys, through peaks and glaciers. You can experience the Ladakh culture, see monasteries, imagine blue skies, blue water and brown mountains all around you.
Yeah, nice. That sounds gorgeous.
It does,
and
it?
Again, very close.
Yes, very close. I mean, I want to do a road trip down there, but you can obviously take your bikes and head down there as well.
I love that. I love that Shruti's like, these are cycle tours, but I would like to do them in the car.
Definitely. Yeah.
Am I your type of holiday?
Yeah.
It is freezing all of a sudden. I don't know what's happened.
This is actually pleasant weather, though, isn't it? Most people here would think it's pleasant weather.
We get used to the warmth, I think, as Brits.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we are talking about cycling holidays, though.
Yep.
We are. And you will get
hopefully
a bit of
to warm places.
Even if they're warm, though, you get a bit of a breeze on your bike.
Yeah.
I imagine on an electric bike, if you were breezing along and not putting in the maximum effort, you could get quite chilly.
Yeah, you could do, couldn't you? Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so far we've seen Jordan and we've seen India.
Uh-huh.
One was a flat ride and one was a slightly hilly one, obviously going through the mountains. Now we're heading off to South Africa, a bit further away. But it's a famous tour with the first version dating back to the 70s. It's called the Cape Argus Cycle Tour down the Cape Peninsula. Now, in 2016, they had 35,000 cyclists who took part in this. And it's an individually timed cycle tour in the world. So it's almost like you're racing and you're clocking in your time. It's a circular route. It starts in Cape Town. It takes you 109 kilometers of coastal roads along the Cape Peninsula. You go through villages, bays, and you go through the Cape Point Nature Reserve before returning back to Cape Town. And for this, for your time to be officially counted, you have to finish this within 7 hours.
Oh, the pressure.
Yeah, and
7 hours.
The fastest cyclist finished this within 3 hours.
So what do you think it take me? Probably 2 days, I think.
Well, yeah. It took me 5 hours to do 104 kilometres when I did the 92K and went the wrong way.
Yeah.
5 hours.
You never got over that, did you?
No, because they put my name last in the results. And I had people screen grabbing it and sending it to me and stuff. Yeah. It's really, really awkward.
Yeah, just imagine this. So this is 109 kilometres, the fastest, yeah. three hours to do it. Elia Viviani, who's just won the stage from Dubai to Russell Kemah. It's 190 kilometres, and he did it in 4 hours 34.
Yeah, they're pretty good, these guys,
yes,
aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Some people would say they're show-offs.
Yeah.
Well, next up, we are, you know, if you know me, I like mixing a bit of relaxation with all the exercises. And this is exactly what we're going to do. It's called the Bike and Boat Tour, and it's taking you through Passau, through Budapest and Vienna. Now, it's called the Danube Loop for the river. And you go through amazing landscapes of the Wachau region with your terraced vineyards, your fortresses, palaces, forests of the national park and the Hungarian Danube Bend. You'll be cycling along quiet paths. You're passing iconic cities such as Vienna, Bratislava, Budapest. And your floating hotel with everything in it is floating along next to you. So if you ever feel like, I've had enough.
It?
Yeah, just hop onto your boat.
So your hotel's kind of just pedaling away. Your hotel's next to you.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Huh?
I love the sound of that one. Someone's just texted in 4001. What is the price of the South African trip?
Oh, I don't have that handy right now. But if I'm not mistaken, that was around 6,000 dirhams.
Okay, we'll work with that.
Yeah.
So you got a budget for that one.
I mean, it's handy, isn't it? This hotel, if you get tired, you just drive into the hotel on the river.
Yeah, I really like the sound of this.
Yeah.
Because you know what else you could do?
What?
You could have, I mean, Andy was here earlier, who's a keen cycler, said that when he first got into cycling holidays, he drifted apart from his wife a little bit because she didn't want to go cycling up mountains.
Yeah.
This one, you could have someone reading a book on the boat while the other one's cycling along.
They could be waving at you out the bedroom window. Yeah, how's it going out there? All right.
It's ideal for couples.
Yeah.
Yeah, the South Africa one is 7,205 dirhams, 9 days.
Over budget. We only budgeted six,
Shruti. Not bad. 9 days.
Nine days, yeah.
It's a long holiday.
Because you get there, you acclimatise and then...
Flights on top of that?
No, I think everything's included.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right, so...
What about the one me and Mark want to do? Do you know how much that one is?
That's about 4,000 dirhams.
We've picked the cheap one.
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it? Fantastic.
Yeah, we'll split it, 2,000 apiece.
No, 4,000 per person.
Right.
Can't really split
Cheers.
That.
We're not sharing a room.
No, but this is a really cool one. I think you might enjoy this, Steph. Mark, not so much. It's called, you're going to Finland, we're staying in Europe, and it's in the winter. So you're cycling in the snow.
Oh, my fingers. I don't think I could do this. How do you cycle in the snow?
Well, apparently you get specific kit for this, and it's called a fat bike.
Oh, that's them with
course.
A big... You know, there's a little story about me and a fat bike.
There it is.
Yeah, I went out. I was sent out when we first started the ticket, actually. I was sent out into the desert to try out various things, buggies and other stuff. And they put me on a fat bike and my feet wouldn't touch the ground on this fat bike. Or wouldn't touch the sand, so I fell off it.
Mark's legs are too short for a fat bike.
Yeah. So I was teased for about a year about having short legs.
And now you've reminded us. We'll do it for the rest of this year, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah, fat bikes are brilliant.
Yeah.
I've only ever had a go on one once, but it does make it so much easier.
Maybe it does on a road, but in the sand dunes, I didn't find it that easy, no.
Ah, okay.
And finally, just to wrap up, I want to tell you about the best one that I found.
Yeah, go on.
You didn't tell us how much Finland was.
Finland is around £1,500.
And that's which is, do the bro math really quickly, 8,000 dirhams?
Yeah.
8,000 dirhams. Yeah. But it is 8 days, and it's taking you around Finland. And the final one that I want to tell you about is the best one. It's you cycling from Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam to Angkor Wat in Cambodia.
Oh, yeah, I'd love this one. And Steph's been to Angkor Wat.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, so you start in the city, you're going through the market, you're going through the Chu Chi Tunnel, and then you cross over to Cambodia, you pass along the palaces and pagodas that is in Phnom Penh, and then you end at the temples in Siem Reap. So it is 525 kilometers. So this is obviously for the strong-willed ones, and it's sort of like doing three stages of the Dubai tour.
And guess what I'm going to ask you?
How much does it cost?
Yeah.
This is around 6,000 dirhams.
Fantastic. Well, that was pretty cool. Am I your type?
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.